Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues and invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Paul had this to say, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So how do we live this Christian life? Being led by the Spirit of God. That's something that takes a long time for us to really grasp and to understand how that works, because it's so against everything that we knew as unbelievers in Christ. But this new life is a life to be led by the Spirit. We welcome you today to Basic Gospel. We have plenty of open lines right now, 1-800-677-9377. Andrew Farley is here again today. Andrew, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Bob. It's great to be here.
Well, it's always great to have you here. We just love you being a part of this broadcast. I know our listeners love listening to you and hearing your insights on what this Christian life is all about. And as you travel the country and as you speak at various churches and in different locations, I think this topic of the day, being led by the Spirit, is something that you really hone in on and trying to communicate exactly what that is, because when folks get it, that's when they experience real freedom in Christ.
Yeah, you know, a lot of folks, there's so many different interpretations of what it means to be led by the Spirit. And, you know, some people say, well, it's this gift, it's speaking in tongues, or it's this, or it's that. And really what we find is that, you know, God is leading us in every moment. He's leading every child of God in every moment. And it's not about some church event or some special gift for a moment. It's really a father who is mentoring his children all day long.
Gosh, and what a comforting thought and a comforting image that he's always there with us. And that really elicits a response of faith. You know, this Christian life, we enter into it by grace through faith. And that really becomes the platform on which we live our lives as well. It's always by grace through faith, being led by the Spirit of God. That's just an amazing truth. And as I said, I think it's something that is so difficult for us to grasp, because we're so used to applying human effort to every aspect of life. I think so many Christians, they take human effort and they apply it to fulfilling the law, fulfilling the Ten Commandments, trying to live up to those righteous requirements, and they just can't do it. But they keep trying, they redouble efforts, they make more promises. But human effort applied to any set of rules and regulations just doesn't work. That's why this new life is about being led by the Spirit of God.
Yeah, you know, Bob, it's like, you know, we just can't believe it's this good. People say, I want to be led by the Spirit. I want Christ to be my life. How can I get Christ to lead me? How can I be led by the Spirit? How? And I think, you know, what we really have to recognize is that God has already set this thing up to happen. I mean, it's just the most normal and natural thing in the world now. If you're in Christ, I mean, in fact, Paul says, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you don't belong to God. And then Romans goes on to talk about how, you know, if we're led by the Spirit, Galatians says too, if we're led by the Spirit, we're not under the law. So it's just as normal as anything else. It's normal to be freed from the law in Christ, and it's normal to be led by the Spirit. They're one and the same. If you were led by the law, well, that was you and 613 rules. But now, if you're led by the Spirit, it's you and Jesus. And it's normal. It's, you know, I think a lot of children of God, we're being led and we don't even realize it, because I guess we're expecting a feeling. We're expecting some sort of buzzy feeling in our heads or our emotions, or we're going to, you know, feel it all the time. But the counsel of God, you know, we've been given the mind of Christ, and the counsel of God is always there.
Yes, it is. Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Andrew Farley today. We welcome your calls. 1-800-677-9377 is the toll-free number. So go ahead and call that right now. If you have a question about what it means to be led by the Spirit or any other Bible passage or problem situation, we would love to hear from you and direct you into the Word of God. Andrew, we got a great email yesterday in response to the program. And if you didn't listen to yesterday's broadcast, at the very end, a gentleman by the name of Jose that lives in the New York area received the Lord. I mean, he was struggling with whether or not he was a Christian. You know, he had done some things, joined a church and that sort of thing, but he just wasn't sure. And yesterday we had the privilege of communicating the good news to him. And at the end, his heart was saying, I want to receive Christ today. Well, you know, when people listen in on conversations like that, it can make a difference to them. And Wayne from the New York area wrote this to us. Thank you for yesterday's broadcast. It was such a blessing. I listen on WMCA in New York. I really appreciated what you said to Jose regarding having assurance of salvation. It was just what I needed to hear as well. Thanks again. And that's the wonderful I think ministry that takes place through radio. We have conversations with individuals, but you know, hundreds and thousands of people listen in on those conversations, and God does his work in their lives as well. And I was so excited to hear this. And so Wayne, thank you for writing to us, and we have sent you some resources that can help you along and can give you more assurance. And we hope that you will call us and let us know how those have helped you in your journey with Christ. Well, this is Basic Gospel, 1-800-677-9377. Let's start in O'Fallon, Missouri, and talk with Brad, listening to us on the Internet. Hi, Brad.
How y'all doing? This has been such a phenomenal, wonderful week for me and Basic Gospel with Andrew being on. And I can't express, Bob, we've talked, I can't express to you all in words or enough time how much I've been blessed by Basic Gospel over the years, and also Andrew Farley's ministry. And speaking of Andrew's ministry, what I'd like to have you all touch on a little bit in regards to what's been talked about this week, and that is in Andrew's series, Your New Identity, and a little bit in I Am New, which is another series that I listen to over and over again. Andrew, you talk about sin in the members and sin as being a noun, not a verb, and the fact that the believer, when they're led by the Spirit, and this is very, very, to me, was very important, when you're being led, you have to recognize the source of where anything's coming from, whether it's coming from the sin, the noun, or whether it's coming from the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that was phenomenal for me. So if you guys could talk about that a little bit, I think a lot of people get confused when they're being led, like you said, you know, is it a feeling? Mm-hmm. Well, these things aren't feelings, and the truth is a whole lot different than a feeling. So I just love you guys, and I so appreciate the ministry. And Andrew, I love the fact that you're hooked up with Basic Gospel and all your books. I've read all of them, and I hang pretty close with Bob and Richard, and I just love you guys, and God bless you guys for helping Jose yesterday. And I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Well, thanks, Brad. Yeah, it's certainly fun. You know, Bob Christopher and I have been friends for a couple decades now, and it's just fun to partner this week on the program. And appreciate your call, the fact that you've been probing the depths of all that it means to live under grace and understand your new identity. I mean, Brad, this was a big deal for me because it helped me see that I'm not the sum total of my thoughts. I'm not every thought that hits me. I used to think that every thought that hit my head was me. I mean, I'm the only one here, right? So everything that hits my head, it must be my thoughts, my dirty heart, my wicked thinking, you know. And so I began to build an identity around my thought life. And, you know, how good a Christian am I? Well, let's take a look at my thought life and then figure that out. And then you would end up rating yourself at a 6 or a 7 or a 4 or whatever. And so I was getting my identity or my self-concept from all the thoughts that swirl through my head. But Paul reveals, as you've just already mentioned here, Brad, I mean, Paul is saying there's a power called sin. It's a noun, and it offers thoughts to us. And when we end up doing the very thing we don't want to do, it's actually the rat in our house. You know, Bob, living in South Bend and then in Lubbock, Texas, we've had a lot of house turmoil. And one of the things that happened was one time I went out in the garage, and there was all this tubing in our furnace that had been chopped up into little bits and was laying on the floor. And I thought my wife had lost it. I thought she'd, you know, maybe sabotaged our furnace or something. And she's looking at me thinking, what did you do with a pocket knife or something? And finally we figured out there was a varmint. There was something. There was a rodent. There was a parasite. There was a rat in our house that had come into that area and chewed everything up and destroyed it. So it was something in our house that wasn't us. And that's kind of the picture that Paul is painting here is, hey, you know, husband and wife, if you guys are bickering and fighting, yes, you're making choices, but there's a rat called sin, and you have a mutual enemy. That's important for an individual Christian to understand, but it's important for married Christians to understand. Bob, you know, the power of sin, that rat, can get into our thinking, and we start looking at each other as the enemy, and all the while, hey, no, we're children of God, and we have a mutual enemy called sin.
Yeah, that's what Paul says. Our battle isn't against flesh and blood. It's against the powers of darkness, those forces that really, you know, hone in on that word sin. I mean, that's how they try to trick us and that sort of thing. So one of the things that I've heard in years past is that Satan is such a master, as he puts these thoughts into our heads and puts these ideas into our minds. And then he convinces us that those are our own thoughts, that those are our own ideas. And that's just not the case at all. As you said, it's the rat living in the house. So,
yeah.
And you're not going to get rid of the rat living in the house.
Right.
And that's where so many Christians expend a lot of energy trying to get rid of the rat. Well, while we're in this world and while we're in this body of flesh, you know, that rat is going to be there. We're going to be set free from all that at a later time when we get new bodies and that sort of thing. But we don't have to give in to what the rat wants us to do.
Yeah. So there's the difference. Everyone out there listening, you heard it so clearly. That's the difference between sin dying and us dying to sin. See, sin doesn't die. Sin will die later. But right now, sin is alive in the world. Sin is a source, a tempter. And sin is not dead, but we are dead to sin. That means we don't have to let it control us. It's not harnessed to us. It's not, mastering us. We have a free choice. So, you know, Bob, I was thinking about this married couple idea. And, you know, let's say there's a guy who is struggling with pornography and then his wife who is just struggling with, well, inferiority or bitterness toward him. What she's doing is she's mad at him, and what he's doing, he's mad at her for blowing up all the time. And then you say, well, what if these two, the guy and the girl, what if they could both see their identity in Christ? And what if they could see each other's identity in Christ? And then they could start to recognize the rat called sin is actually their common enemy. That starts to change the way they think about things.
Yes, it does, in a dramatic fashion. And it really brings them together exactly what God wants for them in their lives, for them to come together and to encourage one another, build one another up, and protect one another as they're going through this marriage relationship. Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Andrew Farley. 1-800-677-9377 is the number you can call. Let's go to Fayetteville, North Carolina, and talk with Andrew, listening to us on the Internet. Hi, Andrew.
Yes, good evening. Good to hear you. I certainly do appreciate your ministry, everything that you do.
Well, yeah. You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
I feel outnumbered now. Got two Andrews and one Bob. It's just not right. So,
Bob, and Richard.
Yeah. So be kind to me today, okay?
Okay. Well, I have a couple of questions, I guess. You know, the church I go to, my pastor, and I've had dialogue with him before, and I think, because of his preaching, and that was like a couple of Sundays ago, was that the only difference between the new and the covenant, new and old and new covenant, there is no difference. One was written in Hebrew, and the other one was written in Greek, and that's the only difference. And I think a lot of ministers use those verses in order to try to put together, trying to get people to tie it, because it speaks on a lot about that. But to think that there's no difference between the old and the new, in my opinion, that's diminishing what Jesus Christ has done for us. And as I go through life, I say, if you know better, I think, you should speak better. So if I know about the new covenant and I don't teach and tell others about the new covenant, then I believe God will hold me accountable for that, in a way, because I know all my sins have been forgiven. But I believe when much is given, much is expected. And I've learned so much by, studying the Bible and studying your ministry. And I definitely know there's a new covenant and a double covenant, because even secular people know that, because Christ divides time. And I was just wondering how you can go about trying to, deal with that situation.
Well, Andrew, that's one of the clearest delineations in the Word of God. I mean, that is such a just in-your-face reality as you look at the Bible, that there is a difference between the Old Covenant, the Mosaic Covenant, and this New Covenant in which we live in today. And I think we as believers, I think we as churches and communities of believers, we really need to come to that point and make a declaration that we are New Covenant. That's the covenant that we live in. That's the covenant that determines our relationship with Christ, not the old. If we're under the old, we're still lost. And this is one of the most important truths that I think we can share with one another and can teach. It's a truth that will turn the light bulbs on, connect the dots, make everything fall into place. And I know, Andrew, you've dedicated your life, your outreach to helping people understand the difference between the old and the new and why it's so important to embrace the new, to step into it fully and become a new covenant believer.
Yeah, we're drawing a line in the sand, and that line is drawn at the cross. It's not drawn in Matthew 1 at the birth of Jesus. It's not drawn in Bethlehem at the manger, but it's drawn at the cross. And that's very important to see. And so then you see in Hebrews chapter 10, it says he sets aside the first covenant in order to establish the second. So, Andrew, you're hearing someone who's teaching that, well, there's no difference between old and new, and it's no big deal. Well, Hebrews 10 says that he sets aside the old covenant in order to establish the new covenant and make us holy. And he says in Hebrews 7 that the old covenant is weak and useless, and a better hope is introduced now through the new covenant. Then Hebrews 8 says that the old covenant is obsolete. So I don't know what you tell a guy, but he clearly, we all need to come to an understanding that we are dead to the law, and we are not under the law, we're not supervised by the law, and Christ is the end of the law. And now we're only qualified to minister one thing. If we're going to be pastors, we need to be pastors of the new covenant. If we're going to be leaders, we need to be leaders in the new covenant. If we're going to be teachers, we need to be teachers of the new covenant. Paul tells the Corinthians that's the only thing we're qualified to minister today, period.
Right. But I've been noticing it with a lot of ministers and think, I think, in my opinion, that they use that in order to try to get to the tithe box, because they speak on that every Sunday, and I was telling some members of our church, that's the most important thing, is the death, burial, and resurrection. And we don't hear that on Sundays. But every Sunday, they have no problem, talking about a tithe. So I think they try to mix all that together, because it's not really really mentioned in the new covenant, and to get to that box. Because that's the only thing I can figure it out, because I know, if people are speaking at churches, because I'm in the South, and that's something that's, taught all the time about the tithe. But the new covenant is something that a lot of people, they just don't really talk about. And that's about the only correlation that I can think of that would determine why they don't do that. Because it's quite, like you said, I just got to reading the Hebrews, the 8th chapter. And when I was going over that, because you know, when you hear something, you want to make sure you're right. So I always go back, like I remember Bob Christopher said, you know, he would read it and read the verse and read the whole book to make sure he got the right understanding when you people question you. And Bob George just say that, so I know it's correct, but I just can't understand. It seems like they would know it would be correct, too. I have a problem understanding why those people don't teach. And then when they see that, they have congregations of people that they're teaching the wrong thing to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, Andrew, don't you think that's a misunderstanding of the purpose of the law? I mean, we look at it as a rule of life. That's how we're supposed to live. And you hear that all the time. You're saved by grace, and then you live the Christian life through obedience to the law. So it's a blending of those two covenants. And what that is really a misunderstanding of the purpose of the law altogether. Last year, my mom had a medical scare. She was feeling kind of weak and had shortness of breath. And, you know, her husband and my sisters, they encouraged her and actually took her to the emergency room. And they did a few tests there. And they said, you know, we're going to have to do an angiogram on you tomorrow. And they made her stay in the hospital, which was just the best thing that they could do at the time. And the next morning, they hooked her up. They injected the dye, and they looked at what was going on in her heart, and they found that one of the veins or arteries there was just 100% blocked, and they did not waste any time. They rolled her immediately into the operating room for emergency surgery. Well, the angiogram served a purpose. It diagnosed the problem. But was its limitations. That's all it could do. It could not operate on her. It could not provide the cure. And that's exactly what the law does for us spiritually. It diagnoses the spiritual problem. It shows us our sin. It shows us our sinful condition. And once that purpose has been fulfilled, the law steps aside. And God says, as you were mentioning, Andrew, that God sets it aside. Why? Because it's already done its work. Now we're attached to Jesus. He's the cure. He's the one that takes us from death to life. He's the one that releases us from our bondage to sin and death. He's the one that gives us life everlasting and fulfills our souls and gives us peace. Jesus is the one. And so I think we have to truly understand the purpose of that law. And when we do, it all makes sense. Everything fits together. And then we can freely say that, man, I'm setting aside the law. Why? Because it's already fulfilled its role in my life. And now I'm latching on to all that I am, all that God is in Christ Jesus. That's good news, isn't it?
Amen. I'm going to continue to tell it no matter what people say. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. And y'all have a blessed day. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Andrew. Well, Andrew, thanks for being with us this week. Gosh, this was just more fun for me. You and I just have such the great time together when we are together. And so thanks for being a part of Basic Gospel this week. I know for listeners in New York, you have a great opportunity to hear Andrew in person at the World Changers Church July 16th at 7 o'clock in the evening. I think that's a Wednesday. And then the following week, I will be in New York City at the American Bible Society for the WMCA live event. Kevin McCullough will be there. I will be there. We will be broadcasting both programs. And then there will be a question and answer afterwards. And I'm going to share a little bit of my story and the passage that God used to connect my heart to the love of Jesus Christ. So come and join us on the 16th and the 24th of July. All the information on how to do that for the WMCA live event is online at basicgospel.net. Just click the link on our homepage, and that will take you to a registration page, and you can fill out. It's a free event, but we want you to register. Well, this is Basic Gospel for Andrew Farley and for the entire Basic Gospel team. We thank you for joining us today. Have a wonderful and safe weekend. We'll see you again at this same time on Monday for another edition of Basic Gospel.